This is your Polycast for Monday, March 13th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, healthcare is back before lawmakers, and the contenders for St. Paul mayor meet for a forum. A proposal to provide backup insurance to health insurance companies is set for a vote today in the Minnesota House. Brian Baxt has more.
The so-called reinsurance plan is aimed at stabilizing a private market that has seen insurance companies either pull out or substantially increase premiums. The bill would provide subsidies to insurers that incur expensive claims by individual subscribers. The state would share in costs via a new fund once claims exceed $50,000 and until they reach a cap of $250,000. Republican Representative Greg Davids of Preston is sponsoring the bill.
This is not the be-all, end-all by any means. There's other reforms that will probably come forward that need to be done. But this is a very important cog, if you will, to get a market for 2018.
The plan has a $200 million price tag in the first year and is slightly less in the years that follow. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
The issue of driver's licenses for unauthorized immigrants remains a flashpoint in the debate over Real ID legislation. The House passed a Real ID bill last month that put into state law a ban on issuing licenses to immigrants living in the state illegally. The Senate voted down its version of the bill last week. At back-to-back news conferences at the airport on Sunday, DFL State Representative Paul Thiessen of Minneapolis said Republicans added language about unauthorized immigrants to a bill that didn't need it.
They are putting language into the bill that adds new words to statute. That's about as simple a test as there is about whether you're bringing that issue into the debate or not.
Republican House Majority Leader Joyce Pepin says Governor Dayton was wrong to seek a provision that could lead to licenses for unauthorized immigrants.
The other issue with a driver's license for undocumented immigrants should be a completely separate issue. We need to pass this bill clean, we need to pass it fast, and we need the Democrats to get on board and help us to pass this legislation that the people of Minnesota expect us to pass.
Minnesota is one of five states that hasn't adopted the new driver's licenses that meet uniform requirements passed after 9/11. If the new licenses aren't in place by January, the federal government says it could be hard for people to take domestic flights without an enhanced ID. The declared candidates for St. Paul mayor found agreement in efforts to raise the minimum wage, but tried to set themselves apart on other issues during a public forum last night. The mayor's seat is open for the first time since 2001. Five of the announced candidates met at Ward 6, the bar and restaurant on Payne Avenue, with nearly 100 supporters and would-be voters getting their first in-person look at this year's field. Tim Nelson has a story.
These aren't political newcomers looking to succeed outgoing Mayor Chris Coleman, who's running for governor. Three contenders have been elected to the city council in the past. Another held a school board seat. Elizabeth Dickinson ran for both council and mayor more than a decade ago. An environmental activist, she's the Green Party contender and only woman in the race for now. At last night's forum, Dickinson pitched solar energy installations for public schools and endorsed an effort to raise the minimum wage in St. Paul to $15 an hour.
There is no social program that any of us can come up with that would be more effective in improving the quality and the lives of people in our city than that one single thing.
Raising the minimum wage is a key issue in mayor's races in both St. Paul and Minneapolis as cities weigh whether they can play a leading and unprecedented role in employment and economic policy. All of the mayoral candidates in St. Paul support the idea, at least in general. Other than Dickinson, the field is now all DFLers in a race that hasn't had a serious Republican contender since 1997. Melvin Carter grew up the son of a St. Paul cop and a teacher and is now director of Governor Mark Dayton's Children's Initiatives. He's campaigning to be the city's first black mayor. He says when he was on the city council, he promoted racial and economic equality in construction of the light rail line down University Avenue.
In a way that stopped in our neighborhood, hired our neighbors, and contracted with businesses in our community. I think I was very ineffective at operating business as usual because we had a whole lot of things to do to change not just the policies, but who was at the table at City Hall.
Of all the candidates, former school board member, small businessman, and activist Tom Goldstein was the most critical regarding recent developments in the city. He questioned the millions spent on the just-opened Palace Theater and the soccer stadium proposed for Snelling and University Avenues.
Traditionally, stadiums do not provide benefits. You know, I've been talking about something similar to the global market in Minneapolis as a location for the Midway where we actually would incubate businesses. But that's not going to happen without capital, and capital's not coming because of a stadium.
Instead, Goldstein told the crowd, the project is being propped up by public subsidy. But City Councilmember Dai Tao, who would be the city's first Hmong mayor, said he was proud to champion the soccer project. He represents the area and says the stadium is a chance to put some of the city's most distressed areas back on the map.
I still believe it's a catalyst. If we can have incubator space there, we have hundreds of thousands of eyes that come to that community. They can, and then from there, we can work with the business to bring them out into the community.
Tao said he's already talking to a developer about ways to leverage the stadium for more economic growth. Former city council member and banker Pat Harris pitched a locally grown investment plan at the forum, but urged people to look beyond his career in local government finance. He highlighted his work on the city council to build affordable housing and what he called
an entire lifetime working with Catholic Charities to help people in the deepest poverty. I mean, that has been the core of my life. That is the character that my parents brought me up with.
The candidates meet again on Wednesday as part of a forum sponsored by the Midway Chamber of Commerce. The DFL contenders will start vying for their party's endorsement at precinct caucuses in just about a month. The mayoral election is November 7th and will be decided in a ranked choice vote this fall for the first time ever. Tim Nelson, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.